Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It is season 6, episode 8. We had a little bit of an up and down week this past week. Some really high highs and lower lows than we've maybe been used to this year. So we will talk about both of those games this week. Them being a loss at St. Bonaventure and our first ranked win at home since 1985. Against Dayton this past weekend. So we're going to talk about that, and then we'll just have a little bit of discussion afterwards on kind of what that means for our postseason, like how we're feeling, just kind of a little bit of a temperature check on the season as a whole. So, yeah, Lou, how are you doing? You were saying earlier your voice is a little raspy, so drinking lots of tea, or what's a remedy for getting your voice back?
Drinking a lot of Dayton tears. They taste pretty bitter. But you know, it helps with the sore throat. But yeah, no, I scared a lot of people Saturday morning and Sunday afternoon and even Monday starting work. My video calls can't hide a raspy voice, but again, it was all worth it when you got to explain why your voice was cracked and why it sounds like it does. But yeah, a tough one on the vocal cords, but a great one to be a rambler for sure.
Yeah, that was fun for sure, and worth every bit of that raspy voice. So, we will be back here soon, right after the break. So stick with us, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps. He passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets the score. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won. 60-58.
And we are back. So we'll start with the low, which was a loss on the road to St. Bonaventure. It was our first trip up to the up to Bonnie's. We hadn't played there since moving to the A-10 yet, which I think was our last road game that we had yet to play. Like we played everyone else on the road but them. Because I saw some jokes on Twitter being like, oh, you really haven't joined the A-10 until you play the game at St. Bonaventure. So I guess we can check that off the list, which might be the really only good thing to come from that game, other than a bit of a wake-up call. But yeah, so St. Bonaventure was coming in there. You know, they are 18-10, or were 18-10. 9-7 in conference, but I think their record is a little bit deceiving. They've had a really good year, kind of by and large. They've had some decent wins. They beat Oklahoma State earlier in the year, and they also knocked off Akron, which Akron is actually a really good mid-major team this year. In addition to winning at VCU, actually they beat VCU twice, and so yeah, they're a solid team that just hasn't really put it all together, at least not in A-10 play. Losing some tough games. They lost to Duquesne, which isn't the best. They lost to Duquesne twice, actually, and otherwise they lost to LaSalle too, so they've been really kind of up and down. But in this game they were up. They did a really good job just kind of limiting our offense. They have a big guy, Venning, who has been a pain in our side for the past 2 years now, who end up having 18-6, and he just really gave Miles issues. Miles got into foul trouble kind of early on and really didn't see the court all that much. So that was just something I think from the get-go was just like, oh boy, it's going to be one of these where Miles doesn't play that much. Like, can we respond from it? And ultimately, we just weren't able to. But Lou, I'm curious what you have to say, what your thoughts were on the Bonaventure game.
Yeah, I think going into it, besides also the first time going there, a lot of people had some interesting parts. I think people were like, oh, this is a trap game, Vegas has the odds in favor of Bonnie's because we're coming, we're so hot and we're going, and people are saying we're looking toward Dayton. We're not thinking of Bonnie's, and who knows, right? Again, the result didn't make it look like it was a close game personally, but again, we weren't going to go undefeated in conference play. I think, again, you have to be happy with the improvement from last year. But when it comes to that game, yeah, I saw Venning last year, and Venning just looked like a problem in Gentile. And now we're on his turf, and I just felt like there would be a problem. So that was something that definitely concerned me. And to add to your point, though, about just Bonnies, before we get into details about the game, yeah, Bonnies, it's crazy. This is something you'll hear us talk about throughout the episode, but like the net ranking, right? Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, net ranking is pretty big. Bonnies are actually 66, according to the net. So that's actually really close to what you would consider maybe if you were to say the top 60 teams, right, into the tournament, or 66 with all the playing games and stuff like that, or whatever the final count is. But it's funny, they're 66 and we stand at 91 right now. And Bonnies have more quad 3 and quad 4 losses than we do. They have double. They have two each in that category. And it's just like, I don't know what more we can do, I guess, is the other thing that's really interesting. I believe we have the same quad 1 record, 1-4, and we actually have a better, I don't get it, because we just have a better quad 2 record, 3-2 to their 2-2. Mm-hmm. So really confusing, but according to net, they're having a good season. So that's the sum of it, I guess, right? So I think going into it, you were like, this is not a game to sleep on at all. Yeah, they've had their ups and downs, just like us. In A10, it's anyone's given night. As we actually record this, even, Duquesne is up 6-2 VCU with under 2 minutes to go. And it's like, hey, that's what the A10's about. Like, anyone's night can really step it up. And I think that's what the Bonnies showed. But I do think we have to just kind of call it out getting into this game, Buck, before we do in the details, is the statement Drew made in the post game of the game previous. And that was that he called out that this game was circled on the calendar. Mm-hmm. And that was for a particular player who, in recruiting him last year, and we'll just say it, his name, because it's pretty obvious who it is. It's Charles Pride, for those who don't know, was transferring, and he was considering Loyola. And St. Bonnie's were definitely in his finals, and I know a few other schools. And supposedly, according to Drew, and I don't think Drew would lie about it, is that Charles Pride said, I don't think you guys can win. I'm not going to go to you guys. Now, again, if you're simply and plain looking at it, at the record we had last year, yeah, I don't know if we'd win either, right? Mm-hmm. But that's a little confusing coming from a guy who would potentially start for that team. So in my opinion, are you saying you can't win here, or are you just saying this team? And that's a very confusing statement, but I do think it's very interesting. As much as I love Drew's passion, Buck, I don't know how you felt about calling out a player. I think that's very interesting. But again, it's some determination, right? I also don't mind it. We'll talk about another maybe chippy moment, you could say. And I think these moments are kind of what builds that A-10 rivalry and also gets us, in my opinion, not only our records, our winning records, but also just like our culture in the A-10. I don't know. I kind of liked it in a sense. I didn't like the result because I really wish we could like kind of put one to St. Bonnie's, but they kind of put one to us. But I do have to just call it out as, like, a really interesting move. And honestly, I would think it gets guys fired up.
Yeah, I'm like 50-50 on this. I know that's, like...
Totally, totally.
Yeah, great.
That's the coach in you now. Context, yeah, we got a coach here.
Yeah, if it was a player, you know, you like, as a coach, of like, hey, man, like, don't say that. But on, you know, behind closed doors, I'm like, yeah, you can get fired. However, whatever gets you fired up, like, please, like, you know, do that. As a coach, though, like... Man, I don't know. It's I on one hand, I'm like, just leave that behind. Like, it just, you know, like, obviously all of the guys in your locker room know that this is an important game. You know, there's a way to say that to the media or post game or whoever without outright saying that it's circled because of a player didn't commit, and then everyone knows who you're talking about. But if he thinks that's going to get his team fired up, if he, you know, if Drew really believes that that's what makes his team tick, then you kind of got to do whatever it takes. Like, at the end of the day, if we would have won, if Loyola would have won that game, we probably wouldn't even be talking about it, right? Like, or we'd be talking about it like, oh, this happened and it worked, and like, move on.
100%. I think that's a thing. That's why it nearly sticks out to me. I do have to say, like, again, it's a two-sided thing. Charles Pride, I don't know him personally. I didn't meet him in the recruiting process. I think the way he, like, I've heard guys be like, oh, it's just not my fit. And I think that's a way better way to say it. I think to outright tell a coach, I don't think you guys can win, makes no sense. Also, I still don't get it how you can't say, hey, I'm going to come here and help you win. That's that would be my mentality. So, like, I kind of also put it on him there. But, yeah, again, you're 100% right. I think we can put it to bed by, like, if we just won and didn't lose the way we did. Like, even if we lost at, like, a buzzer beater, I'd be like, what a hard-fought game. It just wasn't like that. And I think that was kind of one of the other things that kind of almost added a little extra sore to the loss. So, no, I appreciate the getting it. Again, it's funny to have a coach now on the pod and get a little perspective there. But getting into the actual game, yeah, it's Bonnie's 179 outright to 64. That 15-point lead was something they took right from the first half, right? It is kind of crazy. You can look at the box score. It's crazy because we had only 26 points to their 41. And obviously it was the turnovers. There's no denying the turnover game was very high. In the first half, Bonnie's had 19 points off turnovers. That is crazy. Like, that is very, very crazy. We'll see a trend of points off turnovers even for the next game. It's very different. But I think, Buck, it got in a way that you just could see it wasn't – no one was comfortable. And again, like you said, right, you're going up to St. Bonaventure. You've never been in the A-10 until you played at Bonnie's. And maybe that's just what it was. Who knows, right? I don't know how the travel went. All I know is that 19 points off turnovers to Loyola 0 is a crazy way to have a first half. And it just felt like it was nonstop. And I don't even think there's a Bonnie's player I could really call out, because I honestly do think it was just a collective that just caused so much. That was just the truth of it.
Yeah, and I don't even feel like this is a bad matchup for us. I think the one bad matchup is Venning and Miles, but I think on a different day, Miles could block four of his shots and get him in foul trouble himself, and it could be a way different game, but... Yeah, I mean, there are three guards, like Pride, Flowers is pretty good. And I know Adams starts, but I think Darryl Banks, the third, is more of their, better player coming off the bench. Like, those three guys, like, I don't know, they don't really intimidate me. Banks, I know, has gone off before. He had 26 against us. But, like, I think our guards and Braden, Dez, and Jaden or Sheldon can D him up, or Jalen Quinn even. So, like, it just felt like a game that got out of hand, and credit to Bonnie's, they were able to keep that cushion. Like, it never got below, like, 8 maybe at one point, but it just never felt like we were really in striking distance. And props to Bonnie's for keeping that lead and, maybe not turning the ball over all that much and making important shots when they came around. And, props to them for playing a good game. And sometimes, you just get beat, and then you got to think, okay, we'll see them in the tournament, or we'll get another shot at them. And I think they learned a lot from it, as evident by the next game they played. But, yeah, just a tough one for sure. And I think just credit to St. Bonaventure for winning a game end-to-end, like, from the jump just about to all the way, last 30 minutes of the game they led. So, props to Bonnie's.
Yeah, I think I really love your point of the matchup. I think what you take from this game is, hey, you kind of thought you matched up this way. Now we learn, okay, use it as film, because it obviously fueled something come Friday. And I think that is just hugely important into the result of what happened on Friday. So I think that's ultimately one of the biggest things. And truly, it's tough. I think the first half, it's funny. I've had multiple people talk about that game, and they said, wow, what a great second half. you're a level with them. And it's like, yep, second half was a turnaround. But again, the first half just kind of ate at us. So, yeah, again, I think the biggest lesson there, too, is even as there's many turnovers, we nearly had we had 17 assists to 19 turnovers. So what a night that would have been if we actually brought the assist above turnovers. Braden with 7 and even Dez with 5. I found that amazing to still find, even though they both had a high turnover night. So, yeah, I think there are definitely interesting things. If we do, I do think you're absolutely right. We have to mention it. Something to look forward to if we do match up with the Bonnies come tournament time. Depending, of course, on how the rest of the seeding goes, but it's not far-fetched to say, hey, we could potentially see them. Mm-hmm. So, again, I think Miles learned a thing or two from this game for sure, especially going into the Dayton game we'll talk about. So, especially we're talking about this now nearly a week after it happened, and it's like in the moment you were like, what team is this? I think that was the biggest thing for me, Buck, was mm-hmm. like, what team is this? And honestly, there's going to be times where the guys have a bad night. Drew said that in the post game. He said he was a little disappointed in Braden, right? Braden knew what he had to do right. And there are some guys you can't have a terrible night. You can have a bad night, but I think you just can't have like a collapse night. And I'm not saying anyone gave up or anything like that. I just think it just kept running into trouble, right? The turnovers, the points off turnovers, it felt like a consistent snowball effect. Yeah. And after a point, right, it gets far away from you. And again, 15 points at the end of the first half, that ends up being the margin, right? So I think it's a little tough to definitely be like, oh, especially on this run, right? I was going to tweet this and I forgot. I bumped into someone. I was wearing, of course, my Lola merch. Would love if more people wore it out in the open. But someone fist bumped me and said, let's go beat the Bonnies. And I was like, there we go. And it's like, when you're on this run, especially compared to last year, you're like, oh, this game didn't look good. And I'm like, hey, not every game is going to look pretty. We've said it. And the best we can do right now is learn from this. But, Buck, was there anything in particular? I really appreciate it. You and I agreeing on Venning there. I think he's definitely someone. Banks with the 26. That was so crazy to watch. I crazy to me to see him come off the bench instead of starting, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you kind of touched on was just like no one had a terrible game, but everyone just kind of had a bad-ish game or okay game. And that's something we talk about too, is like sometimes when you get beat and it might not feel like a terrible game, but everyone took turns at making mistakes. Miles getting fouls right away, Braden with the 5 turnovers, Dez and Sheldon combined 2 for 11 from 3. Like, everyone just took times like having mental mistakes, physical mistakes, and especially when you're already down, like that just prevents you from being able to come back. Like, once you're already down 15 going into the second half, you pretty much need to play not flawless, but like everyone needs to be on their game, and it just, that wasn't the case. Like, a few guys just didn't have very good nights, and I think, you know, going on from that, it just got to figure out how to make sure that not everyone has a bad game on the same day. And if 2 or 3 of our guys, I think, would have been having great games, this would have been a much different game. Maybe a little closer, maybe have a chance to win at the end, but it just looks like they took turns making mistakes, and we don't have a player or two players good enough to make up for having a whole team of taking turns at having mistakes. So, yeah, nothing really in particular for me, like, other than just bummed to see that Miles had a game like that. That can be pretty difficult, I think, especially for a freshman. Mentally, to like feel like you just really didn't do anything. But I'm sure all those veteran guys just say, hey, you know, it's all good, we get to play again. Just trying to talk him up and make sure to keep him focused. Because I think, you know, especially for a guy like Miles, who his whole career, he's, as far as high school AAU, like, probably never had a bad game, or like very, you know, even a bad game for him in high school is probably still 10 points, 12 rebounds, and 3 blocks, you know, like. It's just a different game.
Yeah, and we even saw Miles in a triple overtime game. So
yeah, and yeah, so like I'm sure that all of his veteran teammates are just, hey man, it's okay. Like, everyone has one
get back, you know, refocus, like, don't let this bother you. And I think that was proven to be the case going into the next game. So,
yeah, and I think just the one thing, and Drew called this out with Miles, just recently, for some reason, at away games have been a little difficult for him, both at Rhode Island and Bonnie's, only taking 6 minutes. So, again, that could be something that's interesting. Again, it hasn't been a season thing at all. That is not for sure a common thread. Again, I think it was at George Mason. He put up nearly a double-double or at least 12 points, I remember, and was nearly perfect from field goal. So, again, like you said, I really appreciate, again, that next man up mentality. It's one of those nights where it's like, yeah, there were plenty of guys trying, just not enough to overcome the deficit, right? Mm-hmm. You, when you have a Daryl Banks off the bench putting up 26, you're like, well, who can respond to that? And no one off the bench at that point on our side could respond like that, right? Mm-hmm. And there are games, if you look at it, like Sheldon's games with George Mason and George Washington, he stepped up, right? So, and again, this has been a very big season of the depth. I even saw a tweet today that not a single Loyola men's player has been player of the week or rookie of the week. Mm-hmm. And we are second in the conference. Mm-hmm. Now, again, does that mean we don't have any individual that's playing great? No. I just think personally that just means we have such a depth, and that when guys have great games and stellar games, like, I would love to know who voted for that, because I think Braden Norris easily should have gotten a nod from Friday's game, but again, the Tuesday game also doesn't help, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I get that. So, I do think that's just a really sum up version for me on some of this stuff, like Miles maybe having a bad game or just not getting the full minutes. There are just times where guys will get in trouble, whether it be foul, we saw that a whole bunch of times this year, whether it be just like not getting the bucket, and having that depth really showed though how important that is. Because even this year in the wins, we were fighting for it. Whether it be Dame scoring at Fordham, whether it be St. Joe's with Jaden, right? It's like every game you can almost point to a different player that has brought a different level to impact the game. And I think that's really something. And again, it was tough with Venning. I don't think it was going to be easy. Oh, God, now that I think about it, is he back again next year? I hope not.
He might be.
Is he a junior? I know that team is just a lot of transfers, like Pride and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'll have to look that up myself. But, yeah, I think overall the Bonnies, we got it out of the way, right? We've traveled to the great St. Bonaventure. Again, bittersweet, too, I think, their coach, right? He got his 300th career win. Our AD, for those who don't know, went to St. Bonaventure and was there, I believe, also in the audience, Steve Watson. So, crazy to see the connections, but again, that's A10. And again, there's no really positive except for like, hey, don't pull this shit against Dayton. Yeah. And I think that definitely was a different tune they were singing on Friday.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's move into that game then. So Dayton's coming to town, ranked number 21, tied with us in the standings at the time. Lots of preseason, you know, hoopla for Dayton. They're going to run away with it. Lots of national media attention, which personally for me, like, especially this year, like, good. I'm glad Dayton got all that attention. Like, they have a really solid team. They have some big returning players. And, you know, for me as a Rambler fan who's hoping, like, man, I just hope our Ramblers don't finish last again. Like, I was like, oh, this is some good attention for our conference. I was all about it. And then, you know, we get into conference season, and they start kind of, like, I don't know, they look good, but they didn't look unbeatable. A couple teams knocked them off, George Mason, all the same. Like, well, why are they still getting all this hype? Like, you know, they're a good team and all, but, like, they haven't won anything yet. And also, like, they just seemed pretty beatable. So then, you know, to hear like different A10 podcasts, like talking about them still, like, you know, you get the fans on or the, media people from Dayton, and they're still, oh, Dayton, yeah, they're unbeatable. Like, you know, well, you've already lost 5 games this year. What do you mean unbeatable? Then yeah, it starts to get on your nerves a little bit. It starts to get on, at least get on my nerves a little bit. But welcoming them into Genteel, where they love to tout that they will buy up all the tickets and, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and getting there. And I don't know. I thought personally, like, the Dayton fans, I didn't really even notice them. I don't think. Did you see any of them there? I didn't see any Dayton fans there. I don't know. They must not travel very well.
I don't know if they knew how to wear decent clothing, but I think I did see a few.
It's such a bummer because their red is nice, and then they got this, like, powder blue. I'm like, who is that even? Like, you guys, Indiana State? No, couldn't tell. No, I'm kidding. I wish I was serious, but yeah, they turned out. They were there. Kind of loud. I thought it was kind of funny cheering at different times, yelling and screaming while their team was on offense, and I don't know, just kind of little, like, rookie things that I felt like a well-experienced basketball fan would probably know. I don't know. It was a cool atmosphere is what I'm trying to get at. The sellout was awesome. I think every time Loyola has a sellout, like, each of the past, you know, whatever times, every time they do it better. I think each and every time it's a little bit better, whether that's, you know, believe it or not, I'm sure some people would not believe me, but the concessions were worse at the last time there was a sellout, and the parking was worse the last time there was a sellout. Like, I feel like every time they do get it better a little bit, mm-hmm. And this time I felt like the actual atmosphere was great. The on-court sort of, like, you know, all the games they play and stuff like that, the hype videos, the all that kind of stuff was even better this time. So that's just all the stuff that isn't about the basketball. But, yeah, if you had something go for it.
Well, no, I just think before we get into the long lines and everyone hating it, this Dayton team is very different. And, again, I think almost every Dayton fan wants to go back to the 2019-2020 season and play the NCAA tournament. For those who don't remember, this Dayton team was undefeated in A-10 play, and they only lost two games the entire year, and they were both overtime losses of 6 points or less, or I think in one was actually 2 points. And they finished the season before COVID at number 3 in the country. So I think they again, only two losses the entire year. This team is not that, and that's just what it is. I don't know how to phrase it. And again, KenPom and the Net both like Dayton, and that doesn't mean they're unbeatable. It just I think they're a very good team. They have a player on their team, and that's very solid player in Holmes. And I think Grant is a great coach. I do think, though, we are as good as any team in the A-10. If we play our game, right? I want to play back the UIC game as much as possible, right? But I can't. And so what we can do is just can fight now. And I do think as Dayton came into town, it was like, hey, shake off the Bonnies game, because we can't let give them any chances, right? We can't light up. It can't be a layup for them or anything. We have to, like, fight. And that's the thing, right? Yes, we might have to fight tougher, right? We don't have one guy who can just take over in game. It's a multitude of guys relying on each other to get the passes, to get the buckets, to be open. And that's what you kind of saw. And I think when we get into the Dayton game, as much as I love the hype around it, love the media attention finally, as much as I hate it, again, we love the local, again, shout out A-10 Talk. Love the work that that's doing. I always do appreciate more local and national media making it aware. I wish they focused on when it wasn't just the number 21 team in the country coming in. Mm-hmm. But you can't pick and choose when you want some things, I guess. So again, Friday night, 8 p.m. tip off. What a way to start it. Would love if the SLU game would be a Friday night or Saturday tip off. That would have been nice. Granted, Jesuit Jam was great, but yeah, that was the hype around this game, and it rightly so. And Buck, I think this game right from the start was like, this is going to be a back and forth punching bag, like boxing match. Like, it's just whoever's had the right hook or whoever brought it, it was just back and forth, and you just felt that right from the start. I don't think there was a point where I was like, oh, this is out of our hand, and oh, we have a massive lead. This was a very, very back and forth game for sure.
Yeah, I think my first like kind of worry was again Miles getting into foul trouble, because I actually think he's okay. A good matchup for Holmes. Not that Holmes is still going to get his against Miles. He's mm-hmm. still going to put up 18 points or something. But the hope is that Miles can slow him down just enough, block enough of his shots, frustrate him enough where, you know, instead of going, like, he finished 6 of 11 from the field. Instead of maybe 6 of 11, he finishes 5 of 14, right? You force him to take more shots, miss more shots, and thus be more or less efficient. And so as soon as Miles got in foul trouble, definitely a bit of a worry. But I thought the thing that actually kept them in the game, there's two things that I think kept them in the game in the first half. First was Des Watson. I mean, 4 for 5 from three in the first half alone was just nuts. Executing in transition, making good decisions. But then their defensive execution was really good as well. I love how they changed it up. It wasn't always a double team on Holmes. And you might, like, I think a casual viewer might be like, oh, like, they doubled him every time. But that wasn't what they were doing. And they were doubling off different guys each time. It wasn't necessarily like, oh, we're just going to leave, let's just say, Santos, for example. And every time Holmes posts up, whoever's guarding Santos, go and double. Like, it was... And it wasn't necessarily always the weak side helper either. I actually don't really know what the strategy was, or if there was a call, or they had multiple different calls. But whatever they did, it wasn't consistent, and that frustrated him more. Led him to turn the ball over 6 times. Kobe Elvis turned it over 7 times. So that sort of like... I don't even know, like, orchestrated confusion, I guess, of their defense.
No, that's great. I like that.
It was really nice. It was well executed, and it was obvious that they, like, Loyola knew what they were doing. And I, as a you know, bystander, as a whatever, like, I don't need to know what they're doing, but they knew what they were doing, and they executed it to a really high level. That's what kept them in the game, more than in the game. I mean, they were only down 3 at halftime. It was back and forth, like you said. But that was really exciting to watch as a fan. So, yeah.
No, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things was this kind of interesting. What we got done to us on Tuesday at St. Bonaventure was we got uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think we just took that and said, hey, thank you, St. Bonaventure. We're going to do that to Dayton. And just mm-hmm. we never let Dayton get comfortable. Yes, they still had the lead at half. Yes, even they went on, I think it was like a little 7-0 run. Mm-hmm. And that even kind of had me going a little like, ooh, I'm a little scared. Ooh, I'm a little concerned. And it was like, you know what? Letting our defense turn into offense. Now, again, when people say that, they're obviously going to look at, oh, well, how many points off turnovers did you have? We didn't have many at all in the first half. A lot of turnovers by Dayton, but we didn't have many. But honestly... A turnover by them stops their scoring chances as much as anyone, right? If they don't have the ball, they can't put a bucket up. And I think that keeps that intensity on Dayton to try something, right? And like you said, a mismatch or at least mix something up to, like, confuse them. And I don't think I ever really felt like Holmes was fully 100% comfortable, right? There are times I bet you Holmes will go into an arena and it's just like he makes it his place. He's like, mm-hmm. I'll come in here, and this is my place. And I don't think we were able to let them do that. I don't think our guards let up one bit and were like, hey, I'm not going to be on this guard. I'm not going to give up, right? I'm going to be on them all night, all game. And that was a huge thing, right? You look at literally how important it is to see that last turnover by Dayton in the first half. We didn't get any buckets off it, right? But we'd stop them from going down and even making a 2 or 3. And then we even had a chance to tie it, right? And it was like, what a way. What a way to do that. And again, there were obstacles in the first half. And again, I think it's been a trend, right? But the foul trouble, right? What was it? 8 to was it 7-0 before we, 7-0? That's a blowout in baseball, if we're going to call it, right? But, yeah, they had that, and you're like, what? And that included a four-point play, and you're like, what? Where did this all come from? And it
Whose
was like,
hey, are these? Are they, these aren't home cooking
exactly,
reps.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, and again, hats off to the Pack. They for sure let them know how we all felt. So, it was those things that, in my opinion, never let us, one, eat at ourselves, and then two, because of what we were doing on defense, we never let Dayton get comfortable. Even with that 7-0 run, I was like, oh, what? And then we responded, and you're like, okay, Dayton can't just, like, Dayton themselves can't take a breather, right? They have to be on their tippy toes. They had to be ready for what was coming. And look at that, the way the first half nearly ended was at a tie. Mm-hmm. And it was like, holy crap, like, this is a different ballgame. Like, if I'm Drew, the way you, and even with not getting a bucket, but gaining a stop like that is almost as good as getting a bucket and to end the first half, because it's like, hey, you know what you can do to stop them. We just need to figure out what we can do to keep scoring. And I think that's a huge thing. And I do think that was something that just transitioned from, you could say, the Bonnies game. Like, we just didn't execute in the Bonaventure game. And so it's like, hey, if you stop a team from executing great plays, it will mess them the hell up. And that's what we did to Dayton in the first half. And by the second half just kept on going. And also our offense just found, I don't know, lightning in a bottle, however you want to phrase it. People, we were 61% from field goal in the second half. That is just crazy, Buck. I don't know. Like, we weren't great in the first half.
Like,
but
because we didn't even turn the ball over. Like, usually, like, if you have a high field goal percentage, like, that sometimes it means that you turn the ball over a lot, but when you got shots, you made them. Like, we didn't even turn the ball over a lot, so that's just taking advantage of every single possession. The one of the points I wanted to make, too, is I feel like everyone kind of said, oh, it's a team win, right? Like, yeah, Dez had a great game. Braden obviously had a great game. Phil had a good-ish game, like, but then, you know, all the other people, like, on the bench had a good game, too. You could say that was a team win. But usually, like, when it's a team win, everyone played well. And this is just kind of more to our conversation about our depth, right? Like, looking at the box score and being at the game, too, like, Miles played for, like, 4 minutes in the first half, and then he didn't really play again until, like, the end of the game when he already had 3 or 4 fouls. And at that point, you're like, just, you know, whatever, throw him in there, see what he can do. And yeah, he had 3 blocks. He had to have altered at least 2 or 3 more other shots. Someone could say, oh, he didn't have a very good game. You could look at Tom's stat line. In 10 minutes, he had 3 turnovers and only made 1 shot. Like, nah, didn't really play all that well. Like, from the stat line, at least, didn't play all that well. Dame, who's the backup big or whatever, like, can come in and give you some good minutes. Like, usually what he's good at is coming in and giving you 8 and 4 off the bench in 12 minutes or 14 minutes. Like, he didn't really play all that well, at least offensively. And then Sheldon and Greg, like, yeah, they didn't really do all that much at all. Like, but even that being said, I just named 5 players who, like, really didn't play all that well. But the other, you know, 6 or 7 guys all played very quality minutes. And that's just another, like, thing to our depth. It's not that we have 10 guys that all need to play well in order to do well. We have 11. We played 11 guys. And if 7 of them play well, like, I don't know a lot of teams that are going to beat us. So it's that's where I think Drew's job is extremely tricky during the game. Like, yeah, you have your 5 guys, our starting lineup, who has started most of the games except for when Jaden got hurt. And then you have 5 or 6 guys off the bench where any one of those guys could come in and give you some quality minutes. Like, JQ only had 5 points, but played excellent defense, like 94 feet, for 20 minutes. He played 18 minutes. He was playing full court defense, like, pretty much the entire game. And you got Pat Mwamba, who, again, defense, right? Like, you don't really need him to score. So that's where I think
Drew's job is really tricky, especially this time of year, the end of the season, where you have to figure out really quickly within the first like 5 or 10 minutes of the game who are your eight-ish players that you're going to play for the next 30 minutes in order to win. And there's really no easy answer. I think the not the best, but the one that you can live with the easiest is, like, you got to go with your gut, especially as a coach. Like, if you're trying to go against what you normally do, like, that's going to eat at you more than, like, oh, well, I played the five guys I believe are going to win that give us the best chance. Like, you can live with that if you lose. So I don't envy him in that regard. Like, there's 11 guys that can all play, and it's a matter of figuring out which 7 or 8 every day or every game are going to give you the best chance to win. So double-edged sword a little bit there, but
no, but I honestly, it is what it is. And what I mean by that is, it is just how the game develops too. Mm-hmm. How many people did I see on Twitter be like, where's Sheldon? This guy goes off, yeah, and you finally let him play and then you're not putting him in. And I'm like, I don't think it was necessarily like, hey, Sheldon doesn't deserve to play. It's just like, hey, maybe Jaden's healthy. Like, that's mm-hmm. just what it is, right? Sheldon didn't have a great game against the Bonnie, so maybe it's just like, hey, rotation out, right? When you are able to have a rotation like that, it can add a whole bunch of depth, right? Maybe Sheldon coming off the bench helps more because, right, because then it's like there's a mismatch that he can go off on someone. Who knows, right? Mm-hmm. I would love to Drew to invite us to the coaching rotations. But, like, yeah, if you look at solely just the box score, right, Jaden was only 4 of 11. Like, that's not great. 1 of 7 from 3. You're like, whoa. But he did some other things. I how much hype can I say about Jalen Quinn? And he only had 1 field goal, but he just, in my opinion, not only did I see on-ball pressure – like, again, it's just like in baseball and any sport, right? There are just some things that just don't show up in the stat sheet. Mm-hmm. And that's just what it comes to sometimes. And, right? And again, you can talk about Braden's stat sheets filled up to the double-double. Absolutely. That's great. But it's also just like that depth can really add to it. And I do think, right, I almost want to say it was a tale of two halves within Dez going off in the first and then Braden going off in the second, right? Mm-hmm. But then you guys got like Phil. Phil still had 13 points. But here's my favorite part. Phil is 2 of 4 from 3. He was selective. There was one 3 that was, I think was wide open, but he didn't make. But the 3s he did make, right, he didn't let, like, that stop him. And I think there are different other games where it's like, hey, maybe I'm not going to do it, right? But he was so selective and smart with his shots. And so it's like, again, you can pinpoint certain things and go through it, right? Foul trouble definitely was going to be one. So having that depth there I think is huge from Dame to Miles to Phil, all 4, 5, and 4. So again, that's just amazing. And I do think, right, like, how crazy for me was to think, right, Patrick had 3 steals. I was like, where did Pat come up with this, right? Mm-hmm. But I think personally, right, Tom had 2. The whole entire team putting that pressure allows those opportunities for other guys or just yourself to get that defensive awareness. So again, hats off. I think this was a very defensive-minded team that really allowed them to just spearhead that offense, particularly in the second half, right? Like, again, as much as it's a double-edged sword about, like, who to rotate in, I think it's just, again, next guy up mentality. Sometimes you also have to go with who's hot, right? And in this game, I think Dez was continuous to show that he was on something. Braden, especially in the second half, really just felt really comfortable. And I think that's just also, as a coach, Drew is just trying to, it's a balancing act too, right? Mm-hmm. Do you put Miles out there too early with the foul trouble, right? Do you put Dame out there and what if he picks up an offensive foul? Well, then he fouls out, right? It's just back and forth. And at some point you got to risk it, because if you lived on the edge and didn't risk it, you might not get opportunities like this and you go and beat Dayton at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just like goes to show that he pushed the right buttons, that Drew was able to figure out the equation, and the guys on the court also just executed their tails off. Like, they did a really good job, like, running. We talked about defensively, but offensively too. We're able to to, like you said, like shoot whatever 61% or 62% in the second half. Like, you don't shoot that well without getting to your spots, to shooting your shots, to being comfortable, to being able to get downhill, to draw the double team, to kick it out, and get open shots for your teammates too. It's just unselfish basketball, great execution, and just I don't know, they were having fun out there too, and that always helps. Is when the atmosphere is just at 11, and it was really cool seeing those kind of comments too afterwards. I was trying to figure it out. I forget if I was talking to you after the game or Jeff or whoever, and was just like trying to recall my favorite memories inside Gentile. Of course, there's lots of memories when it comes to Final Four or Arch Madness or whatever, but like inside Gentile, what other games were my favorite? And there's only like two that really come to mind. One was the last game of the regular season, the year of the Final Four, beating Illinois State at home. We had already clinched the regular season title, but beating Illinois State at home was just awesome, cutting down the nets, like all that kind of stuff. So that game, and then just as in terms of just like a fun game, was when we beat Northern Iowa at home. It was like 53-52, and Krutwig hit a three-pointer at like in like the last minute or 2 minutes of the game or something like that. And I just remember that day was super, super cold too. There's only like 1,000 people maybe or 1,500 people in the place. But I don't know if you have any other thought, like any, I mean, I know I kind of made a little bit of a tangent here, but if you had any other games.
Well, for me, I think this game is interesting just to call out and kind of nearly goes into our next point nearly to sum up these two games. We haven't lost back-to-back this year. Like, we haven't right now. Granted, knock on wood, we have two games left. I could just have done the podcaster's jinx and we lose these next two games. But I honestly, at this point, we locked in top three. I kind of don't care if I did jinx it. Apologies. But what I'm getting to is, like, we didn't let Tuesday's loss, granted, right, Tuesday to Friday, we have to fly back.
Yeah.
I also don't think they flew back Tuesday night. If I remember Scott's tweet, he was still at the hotel, unless he's on a separate flight. But I think you get back either Wednesday morning or really early Wednesday morning, a.k.a. 2 a.m. And then you still have to go play the number 21 team in the country on Friday night. So that's Wednesday. I don't have really a day off after a game. Thursday is going to be definitely not a day off, and Friday's the game. So if you look at last year there were multitude of games where we just lost three in a row, four in a row, or of course, I think starting from Stanford, I think we lost like eight in a row. And that's just not fun, right? And this team was a very different attitude after losing. And it wasn't a close loss. It was 15 points. That's kind of a big loss, especially how close we played. So I do say that's one of my also favorite memories, is just watching this team play at such a high level, to not let some of the downs of like last year, right? I saw this kind of look like it just like engrossed in the team. It was like, oh, we just turn over the ball. That's just what it is. Like, we do this three games in a row, and it's like, no, like, hey, we have a bad game. Shake it off. Be a goldfish, whatever you want to say. We got a new game ahead of us, and especially what a big game. So I got a hats off to that. That was a huge thing for me to see with Drew, getting that team just mentally prepared, because I don't know if myself, a non-student athlete, also playing a huge game 2 days after a big loss, if I'd be prepared. So I think that's a huge, huge kudos to the entire team. I really appreciate that watching for sure.
Yeah. To all them, to the players, to the support staff, to all those kind of people that, like, you don't really think about on game day, too. Like, all their trainers, all the people that help them get back from the East Coast to Chicago. Like, whatever they did well. They did their jobs, too. So, yeah, definitely hats off to them. But, yeah, just, like, I don't know. Is there anything else about the game specifically? I'm trying to think if there's anything else that jumped
out. Huge shout out to the pack. Yep. Just huge shout out to the entire fandom great to see. You kind of did, again, it reminded me of DePaul. I think Braden talked about that, even though that was a loss. But, like, because it's such a small arena, you can really hear everyone chanting. And that's not a problem, right? Dayton had a decent contingent, as we think. But, again, our contingent of the pack, hats off. And just for note, right, people might not realize, the student body started spring break that Friday. And I was shocked to see how many students showed up. Because as we were both students, I don't know if I would have taken a day away from spring break to stay. But a really, really a huge, huge different transformation that makes the arena for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, they all were awesome. Great job by, I think, all the other fans too. And yeah, just a cool memory. Like, I don't know. It's one of those things where I think I'm excited to be able to think back on that in the future too. Like, beating Dayton at home when they're ranked is just like it's what winning programs do. And now, you know, now we got that one under our belt. Like, no one's gonna be worried the next time that we got a ranked opponent inside Gentile anymore. Like, it just kind of win that first one, and then after that, it's just all business. So, yeah, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I think. Yeah, and I think lastly, just as you say, right, you get that win. Not only does it help establish us on the A10 social media, aka Twitterverse, Xverse, whatever you want to say, but hey, I love just building new rivalries, right? As much as we started garnering rivalries in the MVC, right, with Drake, with Bradley,
yeah.
We don't have that opportunity now. And again, some of these schools are a little bit further away. Dayton, I do think Dayton is a local school in the sense that there were a decent amount of fans. So again, have that Dayton, that SLU, right? That's huge for me, because it's like that garners like what A10 is about. And to anyone who wants to trash, like, oh, this doesn't, I do think competitive teams getting their name out there and being competitive helps the A10.
Mm-hmm. It definitely does. And like you said, just building a rivalry, you know, you gotta win games too to be a rivalry. So now we've got
true.
We're able to knock them off, and I'm sure we'll get a extremely warm welcome the next time we play them in Dayton. And I'm
oh Lord, that's that. Right. Yeah.
I don't know if we want to talk a little bit just on like what this means, or should we leave that one for the next one, like when we're talking like season preview or postseason preview rather?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think again, this one we can just let it sit, right? We were both present there for the game and we really cherish it. I do think, right, we all know, right, we're locked in for top three for Brooklyn. I do think we should keep fighting these next two games. There shouldn't be any let out, but I also understand, right? Especially, I think there will be a certain player named Dez not looking to play lightly against Davidson.
No.
But maybe just when it comes to senior night, you might see some more guys, particularly seniors, get more minutes. And I think that's deserved, just because, again, maybe you have to think about come Brooklyn. But because we have that locked up, we also have kind of an extended break after our last game. So
True. There's
no Tuesday, Wednesday for us. No one needs to bring their pillows. So, yeah, I think that's a huge thing to look forward to. And I definitely think I'd love to have that recap and talk about what the season has meant for the program and for us fans when we finish it.
Yeah, and don't forget, there's still a chance we can be the outright conference champions if we win both and Richmond loses both. But also, if we end up tying, it is a shared conference regular season
champion. Okay, that's what so they have to lose both for outright. That's right. Okay. Because they would have. I was just curious if us beating Dayton helps, but again, they have the head to head against us. So.
Yeah. So hopefully if they drop one, we win two, and we can share a little A10 championship. I'm cool with that. We'll take that deal.
I think if you told me this last year, I would have said yes, give me whatever you got, for sure.
Yeah, but so I think that's gonna do it here from Buck and Lou Podcast 63. We will have an episode before Brooklyn. It might be a little shorter, you know. It might be just kind of like let's quickly talk about the games and let's talk about the tournament. But we'll get something out to y'all before then. So look forward to that. But thank you all for listening. And don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.